As you can see by the scripture reading, I'm preaching on Revelation 14, 6 to 12. Let's bow our heads. Our loving Saviour, we come before you this morning. We've come here to worship and praise you, but also to fellowship with our church family, to encourage one another. And I pray that each one of us will point one another to Jesus Christ, our perfect example. Be with me now as I present this, I pray, and may your Holy Spirit be with me. May your Holy Spirit be poured out on those who are listening. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't see with these on. Very well. I can, but not very well. More than 2,000 years have passed since Jesus asked his followers to take the gospel to the world. When this was done, he said in Matthew 24:14, "The end will come." This truth which Jesus came to live and reveal was not to be guarded as a secret known only by a few people. It was to go to all peoples of the world. Gospel means good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. It was to be publicly known, made known to all. And you and I all like good news, and I'm sure the people out there are waiting for good news. Jesus asked it to be given the widest proclamation to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're told in Acts 1:8, and in Matthew 28:19, to all nations, and in Mark 16:15, to the whole creation. The small band of Christian believers set out confidently to fill the immense assignment. They expected to complete it in a very short time. Had not Jesus told them that he would be coming back soon? Had he not warned them to be constantly on watch, lest they be unprepared for his return and catch him by surprise? But years passed by and still the Lord had not returned. Now only John was left of the original 12 apostles, and he was imprisoned on the lonely Isle of Patmos. Had something gone wrong? The good news had been received well by many, but it had also provoked serious and sometimes violent opposition. At this critical point in time, God chose to send another message of encouragement to John, who was elderly and imprisoned on Patmos. Information recorded in the last book of the New Testament, which John described in Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 12, and I'm reading verses 7 to 9. This is talking about the devil. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Mention here is made of a war long ago fought in heaven and the extent of Satan's influence among the angels. Read Revelation 13 sometime when you get time. It tells of Satan's last supreme attempt by means of deception, signs, miracles and force to silence the truth and establish himself as God. So severe will be the struggle that John interrupts his description in Revelation 13:10 to say, "This calls for endurance and faith on the part of God's people." And that might bring to memory, Joseph was faithful to God and his Saviour, and Daniel and his three friends, and we need to be grounded on the rock Christ Jesus to be is faithful to the end. In Revelation 14, John goes on to describe God's faithful people still resisting Satan's lies right up until the end. And in their mouth, God's faithful ones was found no guile, lies or corruption, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I trust that each and every one of us will be in that faithful group. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." All 10 of them, and there are many more commands in the Bible. And in Revelation 14:12, he says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Let's turn to Revelation 3. While we're doing that, my friends, this old world is fast coming to an end. Read Matthew 24 sometime and compare it with what is going on in the world today. Revelation 3. And I'm going to read from 14 to 22. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. "And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white raiment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Here, it speaks to the Laodicean church, a lukewarm church, at where I believe we are today. Are we allowing the enemy of God to win by default? God is waiting for us to intensify our efforts to complete the original commission to spread the truth to every corner of the earth so he can return. The Laodicean message, my friends, is applicable to the church at this time. Do you believe this message? Have you hearts that feel for others' salvation? The Laodicean message applies to all who profess to keep the law of God, and yet many are not doing it. Every phase of the Christian life is to be a representation of the life of Christ to those out in the world. If not, we will hear the words, "I know you not," when Jesus returns. If you and myself have any regard for our own souls and the souls of lost in sin, we need to empty our hearts of self and ask the Holy Spirit to prepare us in a Christ-likeness through the words of God and act upon them. We as the remnant church for these last days are supposed to be his chosen representatives to take to those in our neighbourhood and out into the world, all who have no hope and are dying without a knowledge of a Saviour and a coming King. We are to bear to the world the three angels' messages of Revelation 14 to proclaim the message of salvation to those who are standing on the brink of ruin today. God is waiting for you and myself to pray, believe and work to save souls that are ready to perish. In symbolic language of the book of Revelation, the aging apostle writes of seeing this last great effort to spread the gospel as represented by three angels bringing urgent messages from heaven. Let's turn to Revelation 14 again. I'm reading verses 6 and 7. "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." The first angel, my friends, is the angel of mercy. This angel proclaims an eternal gospel message. It is a simple, unchanging urgency to mankind to give loyalty to God who made us. God has not made his demands one bit more strict than when he spoke to Adam and Eve. God has commissioned this angel to present that simple request to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. That means everyone. Every last person is to receive this last message to repent and fear or respect God. Respect and worship God, the God who made everything, is our instruction from this first angel. The everlasting gospel is not something new or strange, not something man has invented. It's Christ-given. The everlasting gospel, the message of salvation for you and I, through faith in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. This message sounds forth the glorious news that men and women are saved by grace. This gospel must proclaim special messages for last days to meet last day events. Revelation 14:7, the statement "has come" is very significant. It indicates arrival. Not something to occur in the future, but something that has actually taken place. It refers to the judgment which is going on now, my friends. Let's turn to Acts chapter 24. Only one verse, but it's worth turning to. I'll find it. Acts 24. And I'm reading verse 25. And it's talking about Felix. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." I hope you and my brothers and sisters, that we don't say this to God when he calls us. Because many out in the world today are too wound up in the world's affairs. This is what they're saying. When they have a convenient time, they will come. Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. And I'm reading Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It's Paul speaking here. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Paul did not preach last day message, for he spoke of judgment to come. In Paul's day, the judgment was future. The last day message will herald the fact that God's judgment hour has come. This last message must commence when the judgment commences. And in the study of 2,300 days, Daniel clearly shows in Daniel 9 that the judgment commenced in 1844. The last day's message of the three angels to be claimed after 1844. Also in Revelation 14:7 is a call to return to the worship of the Creator. And it's interesting to note, my friends, the similarity in the wording to the fourth commandment concerning God's creatorship. Look it up sometime. The first angel's message is a message of mercy for all mankind, an appeal for all to worship God. Revelation 14:8. And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wrath of her fornication." The second angel points to those who have responded to their own situation. Men's hearts are indeed today failing them for fear. But part of that fear is the good life will be taken from them. Worldly ambitions, a life of self-indulgence, ease and religious indifference may be taken from them. Babylon in biblical history was a great and luxurious city. Babylon was the breeding ground of pride and godlessness. This is why the angel of Revelation compares our society today to Babylon. Babylon, however, is fallen, according to God's message, fallen first in moral and religious sense, and about to fall finally into utter destruction and defeat. Babylon took its name from the first confederacy of men who opposed God. We know the story, but we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 11. And I'm reading from 1 to 9. Now the whole earth was one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. They set themselves to build a tower which would challenge the God who had recently purged the earth with water. The result, however, was confusion. Babylon means confusion, and the meaning of the second angel becomes more clear. Babylon, the social and religious confusion of mankind that exalts itself above God, is fallen. She has lost Christian qualities today. The implied message is to come out of Babylon. Forsake her, because you cannot worship the Creator in the midst of an apostate order of things that are opposed to God's will. In the Old Testament, Babylon was a nation that oppressed the people of God. In fact, had a system of worship that was counterfeit to the worship of the true God. Let's turn to Revelation 18. I'm reading verses 2 to 5. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through abundancy of her luxury. In Revelation, John takes the term Babylon and uses it to describe the false worship of the religious world, and in particular that system which declares itself to be superior to the Word of God and alters God's law to fit its own ideas. The same message that proclaims the fall of Babylon calls men and women to worship and to come out, to come away from all false worship and return to the great truths of the Bible, truths held by Christ and the apostles, a call back to the Bible only today as the sure foundation of faith and practice. My friends, make this book your foundations. Back to Revelation 14 again, I'm reading 9 to 11. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full of strength into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends for ever and ever. They have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whoever receives a mark of his name. Here we find a third angel followed the first two. In the most vivid language, the angel warns of the terrible consequences of believing Satan's lies and joining him in rebellion against God. And then again there is a call for endurance on the part of God's people, those who obey God's commandments and are faithful to Jesus. The key to remembering the Creator God is a life that is guided by his commandments, his rule of judgment. Our characters must also include all the fruits of the Spirit. And we find that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. God's revealed word, the Bible, is the key to recognising terrible errors of Babylon and unchanging her confused and mixed up religio-paganism. A firm knowledge of God's sure word is our only help, and a living faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ only, will help us to resist the coercion, intimidation of a false system which demands their allegiance. Jesus, my friends, is the vital key to our salvation and escape from this modern Babylon. Remember, it is his return to this earth that will sweep away the false system, and God has warned us against worshipping a false system and receiving of its mark. God's last message will proclaim his fearful judgments on those who refuse to heed his message and cast in their lot with apostate religion. God is calling all people from all churches to accept the truth and forsake all false teachings. Three angels are presenting a final appeal to turn to God before probation closes, giving us instructions in his word on how to avoid sin's death throes. As Christians and Christ's representatives, have you completely committed yourself to God's word and faith in Jesus' power to save? My friends, we have the added responsibility of sounding the three angels' messages to a dying world. Or do you want to hear, "I'm lost because those who had the truth never told me"? God cannot allow evil to rule our earth forever. He knows that evil is self-destructive, since it is only concerned with self. A little bit here from Spirit of Prophecy. The time of test is just upon us, for the loud cry of the third angel has already begun. In the revelation of the righteousness of Christ, the sin-pardoning Redeemer, this is the beginning of the light of the angel whose glory shall fill the whole earth. Jesus spelt out the signs that would herald nearness of his coming, and mankind is fearful indeed. The earth and its inhabitants today are in turmoil. The angels warn of a terrible darkness of false worship is soon to envelop our world. It will never extinguish those who hold on to the truth and his word. Yes, my friends, if we hold on to God and his word, it will never extinguish our faith if we rely on Jesus Christ. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, we're told in John 1:5. Revelation 14:12, here is the contrast between those who serve God and those who worship a false system. The genuine faith in Jesus of his followers leads to obedience of God's commandments, all of them. God's last message will include the teachings of Jesus, and it will be proclaimed by those who love their Lord and have based their faith on his teachings as outlined in the Bible. And it will emphasize the commandments of God. Mankind before Jesus returns. It's a message to be carried to every nation, kingdom, tongue and people, to prepare men and women for the coming of Jesus Christ. It is to be sounded with a loud voice proclaiming the everlasting gospel, reminding men and women that the judgment has calling them back to by his true Sabbath, telling of the death of Christ, warning men and women against the worship and the false system, his image and his mark. And it calls out a people who will keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is God's final call to all mankind, his last message to the human race. This message is being taken to the world today, not by another church, but by a movement raised up by God, just as surely as were Noah and John the Baptist. This message rises above sectarianism. It transcends the barriers of denominationalism. It is God's great warning message to help men and women get ready to meet Jesus when he comes. May the Lord Jesus guide you into truth, and when you find it, cherish it. Buy the truth, my friends, and sell it not. He which testifies of these things surely says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Our loving, eternal Saviour, we give you thanks that you have left us with a road map, with a compass, a book of life, that we may have and be able to tread the narrow path to heaven. Lord, strengthen our faith, and I pray, dear Father, as we leave this house of worship today, that we will renew our faith in you. Father, we've just sang a hymn, I'll be what you want me to be. Yes, you want us to be Christ-like. And we've just said we'll say what you want me to say, Lord. Give us the words when we come across people. Some people we meet might only need a smile. Lord, may this hymn which we've just sung be our prayer, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.